With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey guys, welcome back to Soul Sisters. This is Jessie Katz here with my co-host Dara Golub. Today we have a band on the show that I am a big fan of ever since I first heard their music in the show Girls. The band is called El Perro del Mar, and the lead singer joins us on Soul Sisters today. Her name is Sarah Aspring. They are here from Sweden. They were in New York for just a few nights doing a few special engagements to promote their new album, which is called Kokoro. It's amazing. They have a couple of singles out now. The album comes out in September. You should check it out. If you're not familiar with their earlier albums, they're fantastic. This band is just thoroughly amazing throughout their whole catalog. You should check it out. They're from Sweden. The albums are in English, so fear not, English speakers of the world and of Soul Sisters. Yeah, Sarah's lovely, and this was a great chat. We had a lot of fun. We have had a bit of a lighter schedule this summer, as you might have noticed. It's been hard between our vacations and artist vacations and you know, summer. What are you going to do? But we're getting back into the swing of things, and this was a great way to get us back in gear. We have a bunch of new exciting ones coming up too. We're going to be in the studio a lot over the coming weeks, so make sure you are subscribed to our iTunes channel, Soul Sisters, and following us to catch all those upcoming ones as well. All right, well, let's get to today's episode with Sarah Aspring of El Perro del Mar.
Cheers. Thank you so much for being here.
Cheers.
Yes.
Thank
cheers.
You for having me here.
Happy end of your New York tour.
Perfect.
Congrats on your engagement.
Thank you very much.
Oh my God.
It just happened.
Are you
like
kidding
2 days
me?
Ago.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
Wow.
She hiked up a mountain and was proposed to.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so sweet.
It was a good thing that I didn't get altitude sickness or generally.
That
would have
been an even
fatigued.
Better story.
Yeah. But no, it was good.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Did you expect it?
Not at all. Well, we've been together for quite some time.
Yeah.
So, and I had picked out the ring that I told him about the ring I wanted. However, I did not expect this at all.
Oh,
I thought
really?
It was going to be months and months away and then it would have to be a whole thing.
Yeah.
And so I was shocked at the moment that it happened.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it was successful.
Lovely.
So, yes. Thank you.
There you go.
Yeah.
Love is alive.
Love is alive. Definitely.
Are you feeling that love is alive?
Oh, sure. My God.
That's good.
Good. I mean, I'm constantly, I'm thinking about my son or me and my son and Jacob's son that we're away from the first time in both for this long.
Oh,
wow.
And how old is he?
He's 3.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah,
the four, more than the 4 days, or is this the 4 days is the longest?
Well, we've been away. One of us has been away longer, but both of us have not been away that long.
Yeah.
Has it been tough?
You know, I think about him every now and then, every time I fall, you know, every night when I fall asleep, every morning when I wake up, and it's like, you know, chewing at my heart a little bit, but, and I miss him terribly, but at the same time, it's so much fun doing this.
Yeah.
So
takes your mind off it a little
bit.
Yeah. Well, I relate because my dog right now is with his grandparents and I'm missing him a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I totally get it.
Yeah.
It's not the same, but
no, but I mean,
there's like a thing when I wake up in the morning, I'm like, wait, where is he? My thing is gone.
That's what it's like, yeah.
Did you take that time till now to basically be home with him and make that your thing? I mean, it sounds like you were greatly inspired by the birth of your son for this new album, but did you really take that time to just like be with him and not tour and not do things? And
well, yes and no. I mean, I had him just around the time when I released my last album. Actually, I had him, I released my album 2012 by the end of 2012, and I had him like January 2013. And then we started touring again and brought him with us
for like quite a while.
So he was very, very small when we had him on tour.
Mm-hmm. Was and that so, all over the world?
No, it wasn't. It was in Europe.
Okay.
I never came here on that record, unfortunately, because I would have wanted to, but it was just too hard work, I think. But then when that tour was over, I took time off for real because I really felt like I wanted to. So I just was into being a mother, which was really, really lovely.
Mm-hmm. How do you think back on that time of touring and having a newborn?
It was so great. It was, I mean, I thought of it as a good challenge for me because I'm so used to just being very self-focused, you know, and very, especially when you're, you know, preparing for going on stage and stuff like that. And what I was doing then was breastfeeding, you know, before going on stage and not think about what I was wearing or, you know, doing my makeup and, you know, just, you know, working my vocal cords and stuff like that. Yeah. I was, you know, lying in bed trying to put him to sleep, breastfeeding him and just, you know, praying to God that he would fall asleep so that I wouldn't have to leave him crying, you know, just running on stage. And that was, I mean, in the beginning, I was like, this is tearing me apart. I can never do this. But then I just like with everything, with parenthood, it's like, you just have to like, you know, do it. You cannot think twice. You just do it. And that was really good for me. I think that was a very good thing that I needed at that time. And as, you know, I could have, you know, I feel like I've been able to kind of apply that kind of knowledge and experience on, you know, my music and what I do and in my work and just kind of focus when it's about...
Right. So, you know, like, did it make you realize, I don't need to worry so much about what I'm wearing and my makeup? And blah, blah, blah,
it's not
like,
the end of the world. It's you know, focus on the most important stuff.
So cool,
right. And my shows are just as good without all of that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that was a great thing for me to learn. I mean, even though I kind of maybe knew it somewhere, I hadn't clicked. Fully, you know, taken it to heart.
Right. To know that you can do it.
Exactly.
Knowing in your head that it would be fine is different than doing it and being like, and the world still went on and my fans still enjoy the show.
No, exactly. And also, I mean, doing shows and stuff can really bring out the worst parts of you of being like a control freak. You feel like I have to have that. I have to have this lying on a special place before. And it's important that I get, you know, this and this, you know, on the rider and stuff like that. And then you realize that. It's
gonna work,
you know. Yeah,
right.
It's gonna work.
Well, from
you
what
just
I hear,
to, like,
that's what kids do for you in general.
Yeah,
to make you let go of
messiness.
Some control.
But it's very true. It is very true.
Right.
You learn a lot about your own, you know, limits.
Yeah. Mm-mm. So then, how did another album come about? Was there a certain point where you're like, okay, I'm ready to ease back in?
Yeah.
And the writing started coming back. Or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was more or less exactly 8 months because I was really, and that's what I've heard from other women as well,
really?
Who's like. They're on maternal leave and they feel like they're so happy and they feel like, my God, what happened to my ambitions? I feel like this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
I'm so fulfilled doing this. And then
for about 8 months.
And then they're kind of freaked out also, and I was, because I was like, damn, I have no other wish in life than this.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, one day I just like, God, I'm freaking out. I have to start working.
Right.
And, you know, longing for that other piece of me that, you know, being, you know, having my own head, mm-hmm. you know, and thinking my own thoughts.
Yeah.
So did the inspiration start organically? Did you have to sort of seek out, like, okay, what's my first thing? Or did it hit you?
I think especially with this album, and because I had a son, you realize that your time alone is very, rare. So for me, I really had to like take the time. So for me, it was very much, you know, taking, I mean, in the beginning, it was like 1 hour. You have 1 hour, you know, do something with this hour. Or then, you know, it evolved into more hours. But so, and I realized that I have to get started working. So I very consciously, you know, I was started writing music just to feel like, where am I at? What am I, what are my visions? What is my, like, how, you know, what is the soundscape that I'm after?
Mm-hmm. Were you reading and exploring different texts or things that you're now sort of, this album is very much influenced by non-Western cultures. I mean, was that something that you were drawn to? You know, you were saying to yourself, I need sort of a new, new sensibility or what?
Yeah. I think I started actually, you know, idea wise, I was drawn to like, philosophers and stuff, and really was into, you know, street art was something that kind of hit me. The works of, you know, people like Banksy, and there's a poet, street poet called Robert Montgomery that I love. Those kind of people and their words kind of drew my attention at first. And then musically, I started, you know, working and listening a lot to, I started actually listening to Sumatran Balinese music, like gamelan music, and understood from that. Do you know how that sounds? It's this kind of tin bowls, almost like that. They that had a very unique kind of tuning system.
Did someone introduce you to that, or
I think I've been aware about it, and then I kind of started listening to it again.
Okay,
and it kind of reminded me of I was just so struck by it because it's very. Extremely rhythmic in almost kind of a crazy way, and it's just totally just taking everything over. It's mm-hmm. melodic, but and it's very rhythmic, like in a very kind of hip-hop kind of way. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like, how does this music work? How can I like turn this into, because it's not according to our idea of music mm-hmm. in that kind of, in our sense of a song.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, what can I use out of this kind of feeling that I get from this and make my kind of music out of that? And then just gradually just I kind of found a thread that I was following of thoughts and ideas mm-hmm. that turn into this kind of like system critical kind of idea that I thought would be a good idea to kind of put in all these global other instruments that we're not used to maybe so much in the Western world mm-hmm. to kind of get my ideas across.
Yeah. What's your guilty pleasure music? I imagine you have like the most intimidating, amazing, eclectic, worldly music collection, but then like what's your secret shame that you'll put on?
Oh, wow. Oh my God. Oh.
Are you secretly listening to Taylor Swift? Like what?
I am not.
Okay.
Actually. I am not.
But do you dip into kind of like pop radio stuff?
Or is there much coming from Sweden that we don't even really know that sort of, well, maybe that's not the guilty stuff, but.
Well, I have to think about it a little bit or just kind of maybe ask you what your guilty pleasures are.
That might trigger something in you.
Yeah, exactly. Do you feel like you have any?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I work at Billboard, so we're always talking about what's in the, you know, the top charts. Yeah, yeah, so there's tons of Bieber and Drake and Ariana Grande and all, you know. So, like, that's become my guilty stuff because I want to know what people are listening to.
Yeah.
And then it's becomes so earwormy that you're like, oh, I need to hear that again.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's why those songs stick around forever.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. But before I worked at Billboard, I didn't usually know what was
guilty
on the charts. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. I didn't have the excuse of work to listen to it. Yeah. I used to be more like you. I'm feeling bad for myself.
No, but I mean, God. But
no, I'm sure you have your things.
The thing is, for me, I feel like I feel so alienated right now from what I hear. I mean, the time when I'm really listening to, because I don't spend time, I'm a person who don't spend time in the car as much.
Right.
So that's when you would expose
into something
that.
just to sort of groove to and not
yeah.
really.
And I feel like that's a good place where you're mm-hmm. kind of, I mean, for these few days that I've been here, we've been writing so much. I haven't been in a car for so long and, you know, for this long in ages.
Yeah.
Like I've been now for these 4 days. And we've only listened to great music, like hip hop stations and stuff. And it's been like
in New York,
blowing my mind because it's so good.
Okay.
Like radio?
Yeah, both radio and other
all the streaming stuff. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
anything you can think of that stuck out to you? New or
like listening to Kanye? Or like, yeah, right. What do you guys,
no,
what do you
it's
guys
been
digging?
Mostly like it's been Rihanna and it's been Beyonce and it's been you know
our queens,
right?
Yeah, and that's I mean that's this I you know I totally go along with that.
Yeah.
Of course.
Right.
But apart from that, I feel like the only other time I feel like when I'm you know exposed to that kind of. You know, commercial, hyper commercial music is when I go to the gym.
Yes.
And then
you need that beat.
And then you're like, hyper exposed.
Yeah. And then I'm hyper exposed and I don't like it. Yeah. To be honest, to me, it's
no,
like,
the sound systems in gyms are very aggressive.
It's extremely aggressive. Yeah. And I feel like kind of forced to train and it's not working for me.
Have you ever been to a spinning class?
No.
That's the worst.
Oh, I can just imagine.
Not only is the music invading your soul,
no.
but the instructor is screaming at you.
Oh, my
God. And your feet are locked into the pedals.
And it's like being a boot camp.
Yes. You like can't escape easily. They've got you and they're just making you feel like shit. I went once and that was enough.
Yeah,
for
I was
me.
Like, how
now,
many times did you do
there's
this?
There's a counter argument of people who love it, and I understand it's not for me.
No,
that's forcing how I feel. Forcing yeah. music on someone in a sort of intimate personal
in
time in a work. I mean, spin is different, but like in a workout situation, you want to just put on your own music.
Yeah,
that's weird.
And I'm all about you know listening to aggressive music. It's not that
sure.
You know when I'm
yourself,
training
right?
or when I'm jogging, but right. I want to choose it myself. Mm-hmm. You know, I know what gets me going.
Right.
You know. To work out and and you know push my limits but
right.
what you know listening to like that hyper kind of commercial music just kind of makes me puke
I know.
A little bit.
Wait, have you guys heard the new Katy Perry song that she wrote for the Olympics?
No.
It's very inspiring, I will say. She
is it
she
a
nailed
super,
it.
Is it
when
a great
I hear
Olympic
that song, I like start slowly rising in my chair.
Oh,
like
really?
I'm ready. Send me to the battle. Yeah,
she got
it's funny.
She got it down.
Yes, it's very epic.
Battle cry.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I
you might
want to
try that.
That
out at the gym.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's
it's called? It's called Rise.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. That's
it's like when the vultures are circling and everyone's mm-hmm. counted me out, I still rise. Yeah.
Sounds perfect.
Yeah.
Hmm.
It's also the song she sang when she was introing Hillary at the DNC.
Yeah, that's right.
But her microphone went out, so it was not a good example of it.
Okay.
Don't look
we won't
to that
judge.
Video. Just listen to the song.
Okay.
Anyway.
Mm-hmm. No, but I'm sure I have some guilty pleasure music, but I just can't. You know, I have, you know, the songs from the music from the past probably, but that doesn't really feel like guilty pleasure anymore.
No, that's true. Really.
No.
You know,
I wasn't asking you because you are often compared to that kind of 60s Brill Building sound, especially mm-hmm. from your earlier albums.
Mm-hmm.
Were you listening to that music a lot when you were making those albums or just mm-hmm. like throughout your life? Was that a direct influence on you?
Yeah, I've always been listening to it, but I think that when I it's like when I'm describing how I started working now, it's been like music that's been with me, I think, for a long, long time. And then I kind of just feel like I'm going through a bookshelf and, you know, there's the book that always been there, but I haven't kind of maybe been drawn to it until that very moment.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like that with every record that I kind of start working on. It's like, oh, there's a gamelan record. Maybe now's the time for that.
Are you putting records on when you're talking about listening to these different things? Is it records or is it internet?
It's mostly internet, actually. Mm-hmm. I find YouTube being like the
everything.
You know,
it's easy.
Yep.
You know, totally borderless way of just totally just browsing around the world.
Especially all of those cultures, it's all there too.
Yeah,
it's remarkable.
Yeah.
And the way I mean, how else would you find a lot of that music?
No, exactly.
Well, records, and, I guess, but like,
well,
but that's
yeah, but
you really have to.
No, but the thing is like this: when I find, I mean, I find records there. I found a lot of like brilliant Cambodian pop music from the 60s. You know, Thai psych rock stuff that are amazing,
mm-hmm.
and those who can find that art, they're available on records and they're available to, you know, buy on online as well. But a lot of stuff is,
it's all,
you know,
on YouTube.
Yeah, yeah, it's only there.
Yeah,
right.
And it feels like
you can go down the rabbit hole, right?
Yeah, yeah, and I love that. You know, yeah, getting lost.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of the same way that I felt when I was a teenager, when you went to a, you know, the huge record store and you just browsed around and you had kind of when you were young enough to not really know the history of music. So you felt like you're kind of like, you had no clear path. You were just walking around and one thing led to another. And maybe you bought a record that was really, really bad. You were really, you know, out on dark water, but at least you learned something from that, and you know, and it's the same kind of feeling I get when I browse the like YouTube.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever asked an artist this before on the show, but do you ever, like, you're listening to something and then you go to write a song and then you're like, oh shit, I just put that song into this song.
Yeah,
like that just came out lifting directly.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 of course.
Right, because I've done that with my writing before.
Yeah?
Yeah, where, like, I've written a script and I'm like, oh, that's, I mean, I changed the words a little bit, but I just took that right out of the mouth of that character.
But you know,
that episode of Girls that I just watched.
Right, oh, yeah. Oh,
but
God.
I usually realize it at the time. Not always, though, but
I worked a lot like that on both, like, consciously, like a method, but also kind of unconsciously with my first album, I think. Yeah. When you know, you're watching a movie while writing, and then you kind of maybe turn off the sound. And in Sweden also, which is kind of a good thing, you know, where we use like subtitles. And when you turn off the sound, just seeing a word or a line, you know, written down instead of just hearing it is very striking. Mm-hmm. And if you then go back and translate that back into English, it kind of gets... I've always found myself writing down, you know, a line that's in a movie or something like that.
The Swedish, you'll be watching television with Swedish subtitles and then a word, like seeing it as opposed to just hearing it.
Yes.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
That's
interesting.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Yeah.
Pale Fire is so cinematic to me.
Oh, that album. Mm.
Yeah. Have any of your songs been in movies?
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mostly in series, TV series.
I know you had the song in Girls.
Yeah.
Was that big for you to have that song in Girls?
Yeah.
That's how I discovered you, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was very happy, actually. I was very happy.
Uh-huh.
I love that series.
Can you Shazam that, or do you have to...
We did Shazam
it. You did?
Because we were doing a podcast. I worked at The Hollywood Reporter, and we were doing a podcast about Girls.
Yeah.
So all of us who hosted it would watch the episode together, and then we'd go record the podcast about it. So it was always happening. They'd play some amazing song.
Right.
We'd be like, what is that song? And someone pulled their phone and Shazam it. I remember we Shazammed your song. Mm. And we were like, oh my God, this band is so cool.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's
so
amazing.
So it works. Really
I didn't know if you could do it from television.
Yeah.
But that's
for
awesome.
Sure.
Mm.
Was that a big moment, or had you known about Girls? Or
My God, I've always followed it.
Yeah,
I love it.
Did someone with the show, were they a fan of yours? Do you know how it came about?
I think Lena is a fan, actually.
Really?
Yeah,
that's cool.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's nice. That's a good fan to have.
Mm. And also no complaints. someone just turned an old demo, was it? Not even a released song previous to the re-release of your album, mm-hmm. into like a beautiful short film of sorts.
I know.
Did you know about that? What, it's Into the Woods?
Yes, exactly.
And did you know about this? Some director just contacted you and said, yeah. Hey, I made this beautiful film out of your
That's how
song.
It happened, actually. I met that guy, Connor Hurley is his name. Amazingly talented director and actor as well. I met him for the first time last night.
Cool.
He was at my show. And he mailed me and he was like, hey, I'm a director. I got a grant and I wanted to make this film. And I used your song. I hope you're okay with that. And
wow.
Here's the video.
He had already made it?
Yes, it was all finished.
Oh my God.
How did you feel about that?
And then I watched it. I mean, I've gotten these kinds of self-made films and not just like very, simple made, uh-huh. But this, so I kind of, was expecting, something not mediocre, but, something absolutely not blowing my mind the way that video did, or film,
because right.
it's a short film really.
But he didn't ask you ahead of time and say, is this okay?
No, because you don't really have to have that.
You don't?
Of, no. No.
Could he sell it without your...
I don't think he could.
Right.
No.
Okay, so just put it on YouTube and it's fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But I don't even think that would be okay either.
Because it is
on YouTube.
On YouTube, isn't it?
No, not anymore, I think. They're more kind of... It used to be, but I think it's a little bit
Did
harder.
You watch it on YouTube? Is that...
I thought it was YouTube.
But it's on YouTube, but it's because it's kind of officially released by me.
Mm. Okay.
There you
so
go.
That's
so
how we did. But you did have to give your blessing and go through all of the proper channels to make that happen.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Wow.
So he kind of, for me, I just, he gave it to me and I'm like,
thank you.
So honored and so happy. And also kind of the feeling that you, since also it was it's not a really finished song, it's a demo.
It's cool.
But he kind of brought such a depth to that song with his images and his, the story that he tells, that it's, it's so striking.
Yeah. And that song was only released to the world a year ago?
Yeah.
Wow. So talk about that, the re-release of this album.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 10-year anniversary deluxe edition.
Yeah.
So how did that come about? Were you thinking about this sort of like moment of anniversary for your career and thought to yourself like, I have these demos and I really would like them to be out in the world? Or were you, what was the thought process?
I wish it was like that. But, at the time when it was planned, I was being a full-time mom at that time, actually. So it was my American label who kind of brought it to my attention. It's 10 years now. And I've worked with the same label here in the US and a label that I really, really love.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. And that's it's run by this guy Nabil Ayers, who's a lovely, lovely person, and he's always been such a loyal admirer of what I do, and he always let me do what I want to do and take the steps that I take. And so when he said I want to release a re-release, a reissue of this, an anniversary edition of the first album, I was just very happy about that. So I just felt like that's a lovely idea.
Do you remember,
he brought it to my attention.
Yeah.
Do you remember being like, oh my God, it's been 10 years?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah.
Oh God,
but I mean,
yes.
You've been pretty prolific in those 10 years.
Yeah.
Also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Didn't you also start your own label? You have your own label?
Yeah, I just started my own label for Europe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How's that going?
Really good.
How does it feel?
I'm so happy about it. Yeah.
What inspired that?
I think it was just the right time for me.
Yeah.
Usually, or before, with all my previous albums, I've been working with indie labels, Swedish indie labels that have had distribution and so forth across Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm at a stage where it really, for me, I can stand on my own, 2 feet and do it by myself. I've mostly been very much in control of what I do anyway. So mm-hmm. for me, it's just another, you know, kind of natural step to take. And also in the way that I feel like I want to be able to, I feel like I want to make more, I want to be more productive. That's another thing I feel like that happens with when you get a child, because you feel like time is very, you know, you need to be effective. Time is very rare.
Yeah.
And you realize that you cannot just, you know, dick around anymore, you know.
Totally.
And that's a really good thing to have that feeling. And I feel like I've, for such a long time, I've been wanting to make so much other music, not necessarily under my own name or under El Perro del Mar. I wanted to make classic music. I wanted to make film music, instrumental music, you know.
And, okay, so you're like, I'm going to build this umbrella and I can do all my different things under it. I'm going to be my own boss, basically.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the springboard to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm. Phil, what instruments do you play?
I play, my main instruments are piano and guitar, but I just tend to play any instrument that I find. And usually I am more drawn to play other instruments than the piano and guitar.
Mm-hmm. Does that help you in writing?
Yeah.
Do you write on the...
Should we jog back in time?
Yeah.
Let's get the origin story. When did you start playing music?
When did I start playing? Every time I saw a piano when I was a child, like very, very small, I started playing. So my parents took me to, when I started first grade, I started taking piano lessons.
And are they musicians? My own.
No.
Okay.
Do you have siblings?
I had a brother that's passed away. Mm. Mm-hmm.
So you started playing piano and singing?
Yeah.
When did the singing start? Around the same
time? It started.
Or just forever,
you know,
singing?
Before I started talking,
right.
I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember the music you were listening to at that time?
I was a crazy radio music, you know, pop music listener. I loved Madonna. I was crazy about Madonna as soon as I, you know, realized who she was. I was crazy about Prince.
Uh-huh.
But I loved classical music a lot, too. My parents used to play me Mozart and piano sonatas by Beethoven and stuff like that.
Right. And that's probably the piano you studied too.
Yeah.
Classical. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you always been based in Sweden?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-mm.
I mean, so you never had that goal of like, well, I'm going to go to New York or LA or something and make it there? Or did you? And it just was easier or worked out to stay home or?
No, I don't think I ever had that kind of... I was very... I mean, when I started playing in bands and stuff when I was a teenager, I was really... for me, it was, you know... we had a kind of a good situation in Gothenburg, actually, where I'm originally from.
Uh-huh.
It was a really good music city with a lot of good bands. And so we had kind of this culture of underground culture with really, really good bands that the rest of Sweden kind of looked to. So for me, it was really much about coming into the town and, you know, just trying to be a part of whatever was happening there. And so I never kind of looked to
Or
until
London
I
or
was,
Paris
until
or,
I was older.
Yeah.
Maybe I started doing that, but no.
Yeah. Did you go to music school? Like study?
No, probably. I didn't.
Okay.
No.
Just did it for yourself?
Yeah, I mostly did. I was very stubborn. I mean, my piano teacher was, in the end, he was very irritated by me because I was kind of, I was not very interested in learning how to read read a score.
Uh-huh.
I kind of just played by my heart.
By ear.
Yeah. And
ear and heart.
Yeah. And I even learned how to fake reading, which he understood because I played completely wrong, maybe, or I wasn't looking at the right place, or I wasn't looking at the right page. Even
he's like, you haven't turned the page. Yeah. In 2 minutes.
So he was like, in the end, he was like, there's not much else I can teach you now.
Yeah.
You know, if you're gonna play this way, so you know.
And you were probably okay with that.
And I was very okay with that. So I started, you know. Instead, I went to the library and started, you know, lending books, you know, of pop songs and started playing those instead and started singing.
So you'd have to read that too, but you were able to just,
you know,
got
you
enough.
Could just read like the chords
yeah.
So easy enough.
When did you join or start your first band?
I was 14.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. With friends of yours?
Yeah, my best friends, girls.
Nice.
What was the band? What was about that band?
What?
What was that band?
I think the name of the band was... the name of the band was... Oh, what was it? Drop 19s.
Drop 19s?
Yeah.
But you were 14.
No, maybe. Maybe that's
a. Sounds like the name of a drug.
Maybe I know we had kind of inspiration from other bands, and maybe I just said the actual name of that band.
Oh. Inspiration.
I mean,
that's funny.
Right, well, Drop 19s is actually an American indie band that I love.
Oh, really?
That's so funny.
So, but we kind of mixed together two names that we loved.
Okay.
And what did you sing? Did you play keys or guitar?
I sang and wrote the songs.
So you were writing songs at 12, 13, 14?
Yeah.
Cool.
Do you remember them? Do you have them recorded, more importantly?
I do, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I recorded them on my cassette player at home.
Yeah.
I found a way that I could, you know, put layers on and stuff.
So how would you describe that music?
Very pretentious.
Yeah. Was it like angsty, young teenager stuff? Or was it political?
Angsty, rock? It was not political. Okay. It was very, I was very into, I don't know if you know of her, a girl called, a Swedish singer called Stina Nordenstam.
I don't think so.
Really, really good jazz singer from the beginning that made really beautiful pop songs, kind of jazzy, very, very low key, very mellow, kind of, I mean, in the area where my debut album was.
Yeah.
And I was really inspired by her. So it sounded pretty much like, you know, she recorded kind of like atmosphere sounds and atmosphere, you know, sounds from the city and, you know, stuff like that. And lonely little piano tunes here and there, and very, very close sung, you know, very close voice, you know, intimate voice. So it sounded pretty much like that.
Okay.
Did you get the bug where you're like, ah, oh, this is it?
Oh yes. Oh my god. Yeah. Since then it's been like that.
Really?
So
how long did that band last? A couple of years or something?
What?
How long did that band last before you transitioned to something else?
I think it lasted until we kind of dropped out of until we finished school. Yeah. Really.
Did any of them go on to be professional musicians?
No.
Okay.
No.
Are they fans of yours? Are you still in touch?
Yeah, we are in touch actually.
Okay.
So from that, did you transition into your own, into El Perro del Mar, or?
No, that took me quite some time actually. And not, you know, a lot of trying out different things, and I was never happy in any of the constellations that I were in. Being duos and bands and different, you know, and different genres as well. So basically, when I was 25 or something, I was going at university and was trying another kind of direction, maybe, you know, when I was asking myself, it's probably not music that I'm supposed to be doing, which made me very lost.
Yeah, that old quarter life crisis.
Yeah, exactly.
Ya. Right.
That's exactly what it was. And to me, it was like, okay, now it's either, you know, this or not anything to do with music at all, you know?
It had to be all or nothing.
Yeah.
You couldn't just do it on the side. It was,
no, I was,
you
know,
that's what you're like in your 20s.
Yeah.
It's like, if it hasn't happened by now, then it's got to be something else. And I got to figure it out right now before I hit 30 and then it's all over.
Yeah. And then it's, you know, and all of those thoughts just make you so depressed. So,
what were you studying?
I was studying English literature and language science, linguistics,
okay,
and stuff, which I really love because I'm a crazy language nerd.
What do you speak?
French and Spanish a bit, and
any Italian?
A little bit, just a tiny bit.
It's very close to Spanish. Do you ever sing in other languages?
No.
Besides
English? French a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm.
So you speak well enough to get around when you're in those countries?
Well, in France I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you live in Paris?
Yeah, for a while.
Okay.
Yeah.
How did that suit you?
Perfectly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love Paris.
Just at aesthetically least for a while, or?
Yeah. I mean, for a while, it was really the perfect city for me. I loved mm-hmm. everything about Paris.
Yeah. I think for a certain amount of time, yeah. Paris is the perfect city. Yeah. I lived there for a little bit too. Yeah. And then at a certain point, I just felt like, well, it is beautiful, but yeah. I know. Yeah.
I kind of feel like that when I return now. Mm-hmm. I'm like, whatever did I? Because I was really actually thinking of moving there, but my boyfriend hates Paris so bad.
Yeah, there's also that side of it, which I understand yeah. the people who hate Paris.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, and it's kind of ballsy to say you hate Paris. Like, I respect that too, because it's so easy to say you love Paris.
I know.
Yeah.
But
some writer, I forget who, I think it was James Baldwin, I think, compared it to like, it's like eating a lot of sweet confections, yeah. you know, and it's then at a certain point, it just kind of like turns your stomach.
So beautiful. And it's just a little so empty. Delicious.
Yeah. Anyway, it's a good problem to have.
Yeah.
Living in Paris, being right. like, ugh, I hate it now.
Right. Yeah.
But it happens.
Yeah.
How long did you live there for?
I stayed off and on. I had for a lot of years, I was living in a suitcase mostly because I was touring so much, and I had a crazy life in Gothenburg, so I kind of never wanted to go back to Gothenburg when I was off. Okay. So I went to Paris and I stayed there for months, and then I, you know, went somewhere else and then I came back. So mm-hmm. it was really just off and on for almost 2 years.
Right. Mm. The nice thing about living in Europe.
Yeah.
You can like kind of be in Paris, around. But then also go somewhere else mm-hmm. and then come back nice. To Paris.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of nice actually.
I do miss that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Were you performing when you were in Paris? Like performing around Paris also?
Yeah, yeah.
Like little cafes or proper venues?
Yeah, proper venues, yeah.
Yeah.
Because by that time you were already doing the project.
Exactly.
Oh, got mm-hmm. it. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
That was
yeah.
more recent than
so,
I thought.
So, yeah, the thing was like this when I was like 25.
Yeah.
Excuse me, I'm just going to clear my throat.
Yeah.
What's that?
You're studying linguistics?
I was studying and then I kind of broke down actually. That's what led to it. I stopped listening to music, and I stopped making music, and then eventually I just broke down, and then
like emotionally, mentally,
yeah, mentally yeah. and emotionally, yeah. yes. And at that time, around that time, is now comes the why do you call yourself a Pedro Lemar story?
Okay, here comes that old story.
We didn't have to ask that.
No. Yeah.
So
people want to know.
Yeah. I went to I went on a last minute trip because I had to get away. I went to just a boring island in Spain called Fuerteventura. And this was in the winter time. I just went for like a desperate getaway thing.
Yeah.
And
collect your sanity a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, exactly. And then even there, I couldn't find any peace from my own thoughts. So mm-hmm. I just like even more so felt like, God, what am I doing? Mm. And I was spending time just sitting by the beach and watching out, staring out at sea. And then this stray dog came up to me, the really shaggy but very sweet dog. And I love
El Pedro.
I've always loved dogs. I've always been like so soft-hearted when it comes to dogs. And this dog came up to me and it's, you know, sat beside me. And it had this kind of blue little, you know, a little piece of cloth around its neck, which was really, really cute. And it was like, who did this to him? Does he have someone who takes care of him or whatever? I was like, he looked so stylish, even though he was very raggy. So that dog kept coming back to me every day and just sat there by me and just spent time there with me. And I just started calling it El Perro del Mar.
Yeah.
Did it start to soothe your
yeah.
soul?
Yeah.
You're like, okay.
At some point, okay. were you like, you're not real. You're a metaphor. Like, just walking in my
exactly.
head.
This dog really exists.
Right?
It was a walking metaphor, yeah. really. You just kind of saw myself in that little yeah. dog. Mm. That's me. Yeah. You know? And I saw that dog is sweet. That dog has a right to live. You know?
Yeah.
Because that's how I felt. I mean, I was kind of like, what is my place here?
Right.
Do I even have a, you know, a right to exist when I'm feeling like this?
Yeah.
You know, I'm just like, yeah, I just, you know, I felt like I was in the way mm-hmm. of myself and everyone else, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I just kind of like, I just had an epiphany of like, it can be simple too, you know?
Yeah.
It can be really easy too.
Yeah.
And you can make something good out of it. And
so did you get home?
So, don't make it so hard. So those kind of like very simple kind of, you know, self reflecting thoughts just popped in me instead of like really just making it so difficult.
It's kind of like the realization of when you have a son, and then it's like things don't need to be so particular. You could just relax about life.
Yeah.
But also, like, honestly, your music is so evocative that I feel that in your music, because like last night I was taking the train, like proper train back from upstate New York, where I had dinner with some relatives. And it, so it was like night and the moon was out, and I was riding alongside the Hudson River. It was very pretty, but I was in a text fight with somebody. So it was like this really like dramatic thing was happening on my phone. I was like looking out the window and like getting these like angry texts, like looking at my reflection, occasionally popping back at me. And I was listening to Pale Fire. What's the last track on that?
I think it's Dark Night.
Dark Night. And it was like so fitting my mood that I kept playing it over and over, and the texts were getting angrier and angrier. And at a certain point, like that music and what was happening there and like looking out seeing this beautiful thing, I just started laughing out loud to myself.
Because it was like, a release.
It was a release. Was like, and like the song, and I felt like I was in like a weird scene from a movie. And I just like was, and then I just completely like left my own body, and I was like, this is okay. Perspective. Like I have perspective and everything's fine. And like life is crazy and it's okay. So yeah, so now you're doing that in your music, which is nice.
That's what I always do. Giving that back. It's kind of, that's why it's so life-saving with music. I mean, even for a musician or a listener, I mean, or both for listener and a musician, it's that's what we go for. I mean, when we go to music, I think.
Yeah.
To, I mean, pick us up or save our lives.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. So what happened? So you're on the beach, you're with this dog, you're spending time with this dog, and it sort of clicks and you relax a little bit. What are the very next steps? Did you say to yourself, this is the name of my project, this is the name of my band, I'm going to start doing music again, I'm going to become a musician, or was that more gradual?
I mean, I wrote El Perro del Mar down in my notebook. I still kept notebooks with me, as I always had before when I was making music. I still had that, or I kept a journal as well, but I wrote down thoughts. And I remember so well that I wrote down El Perro del Mar like something, like it meant something else than just, I could have just written in my journal, I met a dog, blah, blah, blah. But I knew at the time that I'm saving this for something. And then...
And you wrote it in Spanish because you were in Spain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, for no other particular reason that. And then I just had it there in my notebook, and it just kept nagging at me with its, existence, really. And then I started writing very, very sparse lyrics.
Poetry, like you knew it was music.
Yeah, I think definitely I knew it was lyrics, because when I write poetry, I always write in Swedish, and this I wrote in English, and it was very sparse, very, very sparse. And then I had my guitar that had stood, and become very dusty, standing in the corner, and every time previously when I've been looking at that guitar, I was like,
can't deal.
No.
Yeah.
Please. And all of a sudden,
stop tormenting me.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, I just, picked it up, and
after the trip.
Yeah. And it worked. And I just kept, I just decided it can be simple. It can be two chords. And I just played two chords, on and on and on and on and on and on, like a crazy person. And until I, heard that melody in my head. And then I said, it's okay, you can sing. And so I sang, and then it came. And I think I wrote those songs in, very, very short time.
For your first album?
Yeah.
Wow. And just never looked back?
No.
Did you leave school?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did.
Were your parents supportive?
In the beginning, no, absolutely not. But it happened very quickly, everything. It happened really, really quickly.
That you saw some success?
Yeah,
or?
Yeah. So I started, in Sweden, it hit off very fast, and I didn't really understand anything. I was still on a kind of recovery, from everything. Yeah. So very vulnerable still, and it was really strange. And I just started playing guitar for real. So I was, all of a sudden, I was getting, booked for shows where I was like basically not handling the situation, but just did it. and was still kind of happy because I felt like I had given, you know, a very honest, true side of me. I didn't really feel like, before maybe I'd feel like what I've been doing in music was kind of a little bit of a fake. Yeah. But this time it was just...
Exactly how
yeah.
you felt.
Yeah. So...
Have you... Do you feel like you've stayed true to that, you know, way of working and yeah. way of putting music out as being just truthful?
Yeah, completely. I never, ever had any... I mean, at one point I had a person in my career or taking care of my career that had ideas of my music, but I stopped working with that person pretty quickly because I can't handle that.
Yeah.
I'm impossible to work with people who have, you know... Which is kind of, I mean, it's not easy to work with a person like me then, because, I mean, at some point maybe you have to let in someone else or somebody else's comments or ideas maybe, but it's very hard for me. I feel like it's, you know, I mean, if I had been an artist that had, you know, a whole crew of people telling me, you know, this next album you're making, it's probably better if you be strategic and make it sound like your last album
mm-hmm.
and not
which is you what know. You think you might have been told about this new album.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah,
definitely. But mm-hmm. you know, I wouldn't have made another album if it must be that case.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that would
well because
totally
you probably
just,
can't create under those circumstances.
I can't.
Yeah,
it would just ruin everything for me,
right?
So yeah,
that's good. So you're feeling good about the new album?
I'm feeling very, very happy.
It's
yeah.
so exciting.
Yeah. How was the reception in New York these last couple of nights?
Really good.
Yeah.
So you played so McKittrick.
Good. Yeah.
The Sleep No More.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Immersive theater.
Yeah. It was nice. It was
yeah.
really
so you
nice.
You feel like it's landing well, the songs.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. It's such a good, it's such an you know, indescribable feeling to play. The first time you're playing a new album, it's
is this the
amazing.
First time?
Well, I've done a few shows, but just very few shows
yeah.
in Sweden and in Norway.
Okay,
it's another thing also to come here and play them.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't here with Pale Fire, so I feel like I kind of, you know, I was off the grid for a while.
Yep,
and it's really good to be back here, and.
Are you going to come back and tour it further?
Yeah.
Once it's out?
I'm coming back in November.
Okay. Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Okay.
Well, tell us about the Bread and Butter video.
Yeah.
And this, I guess the song and the video, but I mean, it's so wild. Like, what was the, how did that evolve?
It evolved through a good friend of mine that I'm collaborating very much just generally on this album, a stylist and an art director called Nicole Walker. And we started talking about doing something together. And we realized that we had the exact same ideas. We were talking about, I think we met around the time when the election in Sweden had just been finished. And we talked about because a right wing like fascist party had just kind of reached their peak at that election, our last election, like in every other country in Europe now. And we were talking about just how we were really seeing each other to talk about creative ideas, but we couldn't stop talking about the political situation mm-hmm. that we just feel is around us, and just felt like we have to make something creatively that and artistically that talks about that but not be, you know, openly perhaps, you know, too crass, you know yeah exactly
right, like
banging
the head,
drum
right,
like
yeah.
that
yeah
we wanted to make something that was more Dadaistic and poetic and mm-hmm. abstract in that kind of way. So out of that came the idea that we wanted to kind of she coming from her stylist side wanted to make kind of folk costumes, but create folk costumes that were new and that we created ourselves.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And that's exactly the way that I was thinking of the music that I was making, that I wanted to make kind of folk music, but that had no border
yeah.
at all and no real sense of belonging anywhere, just a place of where you belong in your mind, maybe. And that was for everyone. Mm-hmm. And since that is kind of the major theme of the song as well, it kind of you know, came out of that idea, a room where there is kind of complete freedom and balance and peace, you know. So, and also we kind of wanted to create a kind of ritualistic, bread-breaking kind of feeling.
How do you say the name of the new album?
Kokoro.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's coming out in September?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm.
Is it going to be streaming?
Yes.
Available in all the places that people go to find music?
Yeah.
Is it going to be on vinyl?
Yes.
Great.
And it's going to be on cassette.
Really? Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
Where is that going to be sold? On the internet?
Online.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Urban Outfitters.
Well, I hope not. Sorry. But
I mean, that wherever would,
that would just
the people.
Like, totally go against what I'm thinking, but maybe we could find something else. Maybe Walmart's.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, perfect.
Or something similar.
By the way, are you wearing a shirt that says Illinois?
Yeah, I am.
It's been distracting me this whole time.
But I am.
Where did you find it?
Actually,
did you
I found
that?
It at a thrift
store. Really? Thrift store?
Yeah. Thrift store in Stockholm.
Okay. Really? That's awesome.
That is awesome.
I love that. So cool.
Circle.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. All right, Sarah, thank you.
Thank you.
Do you want to just tell us the names of your band members so that we give them a little shout out?
Yeah, I have Jakob Hage, who is my boyfriend as well, on keyboards and bass, and his brother, actually.
Oh, really?
Matthias.
Nice. Family affair. Nice.
That's very cute.
On drums.
There you go.
It's the best
and the,
band.
And the father and uncle of your son.
Mm-hmm.
What's your son's name?
Louis.
Louis. Good name. Louis, hopefully you're
get to go
asleep.
Home soon to him.
Yeah.
It's very late at home.
Yep.
Yes. But thank you for sharing your mother with us, Louis. Okay, well, let's listen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.